Well, today we are in part three of our all-in series. We're talking about living totally committed lives, being a community of people who, in response to a God who is all in for us, go all in for him, and who go all in for each other, and who get the most out of life, the most out of our resources, the most out of everything that we have. And we started talking about our money a couple of weeks ago and how by being generous, we get to tap into the work that God is doing and use temporal things for things that will last for all of eternity. Last week, we talked about the gifts and abilities that each of us have, the skill set that we have that we can use not only for ourselves and building up our own lives, but also contributing to the lives of people around us and the communities around us and making their lives better as well. And today I want to talk to you about our time, because I think our time is one of our most important resources. In fact, I think time might be the most important resource that we have. And here's why: because you can't make time and you can't hoard time, you can't save time, but we can certainly spend time. We can't get it back, no matter how hard we try. And so it becomes one of those resources that are so precious to us that we need to make sure we are conscious about how we spend our time, what we do with our time. Do you know, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, in our culture, when you ask somebody how you're doing, do you know what one of the most common responses that I have heard is? Busy. I'm busy. In fact, I can remember times, maybe you can in your life too, where people ask you, how's it going? You go, busy. And your response always becomes busy, 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 that your life is just busy, to the point where in our culture, being busy has become something that many people are proud of. Have you ever had that moment where, you know, maybe it's way back in your head, maybe it's not a super conscious thought, but it occurs to you that something inside of you is proud of yourself when you can say, busy, I'm busy. I don't 100% know why it is that we get proud of that, but I think it's because we equate being busy with being important. If I have a whole bunch of stuff to do, if I've got all kinds of tasks going on, if I don't have time to be with you or to talk to you or to do that thing, or if I have to say no to that, I must be important because all these things that I do must be so important. I must be making a big difference if I'm busy. And the reality is that many of us actually push aside a whole bunch of things that are extremely important because we're always busy. And not always with important things. In fact, many of us live the way that I lived when I was in university. Some of you are there right now, you're in university, and so you have that same experience when somebody asks you, hey, how's school going? You go, oh, busy. There's always something, right? So I had a time management strategy when I was in university, specifically when I was in undergrad. My time management strategy was this: if something is not urgent, it's not all that important, and I can ignore it. Here's how that worked out for me. The first 3 weeks of every semester was beautiful. It was free living. It was good. No worries. Nothing to do. Tons of social time. Nothing on my mind. Life was good. You know what happens 3 weeks into the semester? Midterms start. And then once midterms get going and they start to taper off, just before they do, papers start to come. Then you have to write all of these papers, and then you find out that in some classes you have another midterm mixed in with when you're doing papers. And then once you're starting to finish with papers, all of a sudden is final exams. And so the rest of the semester, when anybody says, how's school going? What are you up to? You go, I'm busy. And so what I did in university is I started cramming. Have you ever done that? You go, okay, the first 3 weeks are now wasted. Tomorrow is the test. Tomorrow is the paper due. I need to cram everything I should have been doing in the last 3 weeks into one night. And so I started drinking incredible amounts of coffee, unsafe amounts of coffee. I started pulling all-nighters, thinking I can do everything that's important in one night to make sure it gets done. And what I found was, all the way through, people said, how's school going? I just kept saying, busy, busy, busy. The paper's due tomorrow. The exam is in 2 days. The next paper is due. I'm just so busy. I'm stressed out. I'm worn thin. And I don't have the time. And many of us, you might associate yourself with this a little bit. You can feel this a little bit. Many of us try and live our lives in that way. We try and cram. But here's what I want to tell you today. This is so important. You cannot cram for the most important things in life. I learned that when I went to grad school. All of a sudden, there's another level. There are things you can't do in one night to get them done and to get them done well. And the same thing is true in life. Many of us are trying to cram for a whole bunch of different reasons and for different things that we're trying to get across, but you cannot cram for the most important things in life. You cannot put the most important things off to the side, and then all of a sudden, when it comes down to the urgency of something needing to get done, saying, I'm going to cram and get this done. You can't cram to have a good marriage. You can't do it. You can't say, oh, tomorrow, if I can do this all tonight, I can fix everything, and by tomorrow, we're going to have a great marriage. You cannot cram to be a good parent. You can't miss all of the recitals and all the sports games and all of the times where you want to read your kid a story before bed and put them to bed, and then all of a sudden, one night, go, okay, now I'm going to cram all that parenting into one night, and I'm going to be a good parent. You can't cram to be successful at your job. You can cram once in a while for a presentation or a big assignment that is due, but over the long haul, you cannot cram to be successful in your job, in your vocation, in your career. It won't work. You cannot cram to be a good friend. You can't say, hey, we'll just do it all in one little get-go, and then that's it, the rest of it. You can't cram to be a good friend. You can't cram to be physically or emotionally fit. You can't eat whatever you want and sit on the couch and watch TV for months and months and months and then say, yeah, but I'm going to go to the gym, and for 1 hour, I'm going to cram in all of the physical fitness you could possibly imagine. Life doesn't work that way. The things that are most important in our lives require, on an ongoing basis, deposits of our time. And if our priorities are going to line up with our schedule, we need to be conscious about it. We need to be on purpose about it, because we cannot let things go and then expect that we will just cram for the most important things in our life. It doesn't work that way. The same is true, by the way, if you want to have a powerful spiritual life. If you want to be the kind of person that connects with God and you have this relationship with God, however you define that, you can't expect that you can ignore him for weeks, days, weeks, months, years, and then cram it in and pray those prayers and expect that all of a sudden you feel this incredible closeness. The reality is that many of us struggle with managing our time because we fail to prioritize our priorities in our schedule. This is true. Many of us, we have these priorities in our head. We have these things that we say are important to us, and yet we fail to make our priorities priority in our schedule. That's what I want to talk about today. Now, there's probably a whole bunch of reasons why we would say that is. There's probably a whole bunch of reasons, and maybe all of us are a little bit different in why we get to a place where we feel we're too busy, we're too stretched out, and why our values aren't getting the priority in our schedule that they should. But let me throw out a couple of things that I think might cover the basis for a lot of us. One, I think it could be because we're disorganized. For many of us, it might be that when it comes to our schedule, we're just not really thinking about it. We don't sit down and organize our time very well, and it just sort of flies by. We even have a common phrase. This is, man, time just flies by. I don't know where it went. And maybe for some of us, it's because we're not very organized about it. We don't think about it. Maybe it's because we, instead of being intentional about the things we do and don't do, we allow the demands that other people have on us to invade our schedule, and instead of the important things getting in there, urgent things get in there. And oftentimes, urgent things for other people are not always the things that we feel are urgent, but we have a hard time saying no, or we don't protect our schedule, or we don't think about it too much. We don't have it mapped out. We don't have it written down. We get a little disorganized, and we end up wondering where the time went. A couple weeks ago, we talked about our money. So this is another problem with our money. Some of us, we're just disorganized. We get to the end of the month, and we go, what happened to all my money? I didn't have a plan for it, and life came, and my money came in, my money went out. I have nothing to show for it at the end of the day. So some of us, maybe we're disorganized with our time. Others of us, I think we might be disengaged with our time. What I mean by that is we have an idea of who we want to be, the kind of life that we want to live, the things that are important and valuable to us, but then we have our actual lives and the things that happen on a regular basis, and they're just not the same, and there's no connection there. And we haven't sat down and made sure that the things that are valuable to us and important to us, the things that are important for becoming the kind of people we want to be, are just not the things that we actually do, and we become disengaged, we become disconnected, even with our own values. And we know these are easy things for all of us to fall into, because there are so many circumstances that we can't control in our lives, and lives get chaotic, and demands get put on us from all kinds of different areas, whether it's work or family or social life or, you know, just a million other things that come upon us. But today, If in any part of your life you feel like you're disorganized or disengaged with your time, if you feel like you have priorities that are not getting in your schedule and are not getting your time and are holding you back, I hope that you will understand that God wants something better for you. And one of the most precious gifts that we have is our time. One of the greatest resources that we have is our time. And it's so important how we think about it and what we do with it. So today I want to encourage you with that. I want to encourage you that you do have the time to be the person that you want to be. And I know for some of us, we're so busy that that seems hard to imagine, because one of the things that some of us say over and over and over is, I just don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. I wish I could do this, but I don't have time. I wish I could do that, but I don't have time. I wish I was more of a family man, but I don't have time. I wish I could get to the gym, but I don't have time. I wish I could spend more time in the church, but I don't have time. And here's what I want you to know today. You have the time to become the person that you want to be. In fact, think about this. If you get through this week alive, and who knows, right? None of us know ultimately how much time we have. But if you get through this week alive, if you get from this morning to next Sunday morning, and I see you again show up, this will be true of you. You have the same amount of time as the most powerful world leaders. You have the same amount of time as the biggest celebrities. You have the same amount of time as the CEO on Bay Street, and you have the same amount of time as the person sitting next to you. If you get through this week alive, each and every one of us have 168 hours. That's reality. And those hours are up to you to spend. You get to decide what you do with them. And I know you're going to say, nah, my boss decides and my family decides. You get to decide what you do with those hours. You have the same amount of time this week as anybody else in the world has. The difference will be what you choose to do with them. And here's what I believe. This is the bottom line. If you take anything from today's message, this is what I want you to get. Is that I believe God gives us limited time to realize this unlimited potential. We all know time is limited. We've got to choose what we do and what we don't do with it. Nobody has unlimited time, but God gives us limited time to realize unlimited potential. And I believe that God, with your time, wants to give you incredible potential and wants to see you realize that potential to do incredible things and to become the kind of person that He created you to be. And you have time to do it. It's just a question of what you're going to do with your time this week. If you got a Bible with you and you want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians is somewhere halfway through the New Testament, the last part of the Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, don't worry. The words will be on the screen behind me. You can follow along, and we encourage you to read along. And if you want to go home and check this out for yourself, that is ideal. That's what we would love for you to do and dive in a little bit deeper as the week goes on. This is the Apostle Paul, one of the pioneers of the early church. This is written a couple of thousand years ago. It was written to a group of churches in a bunch of different cities. And this is Paul talking about, in this section, how he's calling people to live. And he talks about a number of things. One of the things he talks about after what we're about to read is how to live as a family, how to live as a spiritual person. And here he wants to talk about wisdom, what it is to be wise. So he says this, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Here we go. We know this is important for Paul. We know that this is not just a side note. This is not just some small thing that he wants to tell us. This is something really important to Paul. We know that because he starts this sentence by saying, be very careful. Pay extra close attention to you. This is going to make a big difference in your life. He's saying, I don't want you to miss this. In fact, I want you to pay so close attention that you are so careful about what you do, about how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Now, he starts this, and he says that, and most of us would go, okay, that's pretty obvious. I get that. I mean, who would set out to be unwise? Of course we want to be wise. Of course everyone would say, I want to live a wise life, and very few of us would say, I'm going to set out and try to be unwise. But it's important for us to notice what he's really saying about wisdom. Wisdom, people who are wise, are people who are good at life. People who have skill in making good decisions that benefit themselves and other people down the road. That's what a wise person is, somebody who can live skillfully and not only make decisions that benefit themselves and benefit the people around them, but follow through on those decisions so that their life ends up looking like the plan that they have for their life. And the plan that they have for their life is wise, is beneficial, it's good, it helps them get the most out of what they have. And it's interesting that when Paul talks about this, he could have used examples from all walks of life, he could have come up with anything, but when he talks about wisdom, be wise, don't be unwise, and then he goes on to talk about our time. And again, I think because it's perhaps our most precious resource, one that we can't get back. You know, with money, you can lose it, you can make some more, you can spend it, you can find some more, but with time, what's gone is gone. And so Paul, when he talks about wisdom, he says, I want you to be so careful that you live skillful lives where you make good decisions and follow through on those decisions. Benefit yourself, benefit the people around you. And then he jumps right into the idea of time and how we spend it, because this is so crucial for having the kind of life that I believe God wants you to have, the kind of life that is beneficial and good. So, what is wise when it comes to our time? He says this phrase there in verse 16, making the most of every opportunity. This is a phrase, originally this is written in Greek, this letter is written in Greek, and it's a word in Greek that was used in the marketplace. It was used of people who would go into the marketplace, and what it meant was this intensive buying, or a buying which exhausts all the possibilities available, or in other words, to capitalize on every opportunity. You get the picture in your mind of an investor, somebody who goes around and looks for great investments, great businesses that are going to pay off, that if I put money into this, if I make this investment, if I make this purchase, it is going to come back to me with dividends. I am going to make something off of this. And it's an intense word that means make every opportunity, or exhaust every opportunity that you have. And he's talking about our time opportunities that we have. He's saying, you need to go into this world. This is such a wise thing to do. If you want to make and follow through on decisions that are good for you and good for people around you, exhaust every moment that you have. Be a wise, strong investor in time. Capitalize on, seize every opportunity that you have, that you can find. Why? Because time is so valuable. You can't get it back. You can't create it. You can't hoard it. You can't save it up. You can't get more of it. It is limited. So exploit every opportunity. Buy up those opportunities in order to do good things. That's what wise people do. They don't just sit back. They don't allow themselves to become passive in life and then sit back and say, wow, where did all my time go? Where did my life go? Where did those years go? Paul's saying that's not the wise thing to do. The wise thing is to go out and be aggressive with your time, to see the opportunities and buy. Take your time and invest it as wisely as you possibly can. And then Paul says, just to finish off that verse, because the days are evil. Now, we don't know exactly what he's specifically talking about. We know that he's writing to a bunch of Christians in the first century. These are people who typically in that world were persecuted, who struggled. They were outsiders in their culture. They were oftentimes pushed to the margins, and so we could think that maybe a lot of that's going on. But he's probably talking about something specific. He's probably writing to a specific people and saying, what's happening around you now, I just want you to know, I know that your circumstances aren't good, and I know that there are things happening around you that you can't control. That's why he says, because the days are evil. There's bad things going on in your life. And what he's doing is encouraging them to say that just because there are things going on around you that you can't control, circumstances that you don't know what you can do about them, doesn't mean you should just give in to them. It doesn't mean you should just go with the flow. And it doesn't mean that you're powerless. Yeah, there's things going on in the culture. There's people probably fighting against you, making life difficult for you. The days are evil. He's saying, I know what you're going through. I know your circumstances aren't what they are. Because that's one of our biggest excuses. I'm just so busy. My circumstances and the things that are happening in my life and all these things are coming at me. We might even, at certain points in our lives, we might really resonate with the fact that the days are evil. You might have days that are really bad and where circumstances are coming against you and you feel like you just can't get ahead. Paul's saying, don't worry. Be wise. You are in control of your time. You can take every opportunity that comes to you. Don't just go with the flow. Don't let the circumstances around you that you can't control overwhelm your schedule, overwhelm your time. instead choose to rise above that. Get control of the things you can get control of. Now, I know we can't control everything, and I know there are things going on around us. There are people fighting, and there are stresses and all kinds of stuff that comes at you that you didn't schedule for. You didn't know it was going to happen. But Paul's encouraging them and saying, you can still have this mindset, and you can still follow through on your decisions if you would take control of your calendar, of your schedule, and seize those moments as opportunities to do something good, even when you're having a bad day, even when your culture is doing destructive things around you, even when everybody else is wasting time, you can do something that's even better than that. You can seize those opportunities and to do good. Now, so far, whoever you are, wherever you come from, whatever you believe, you don't have to be a spiritual person or a religious person. You don't have to be a Christian. That's just good advice. This next verse, for those of us who follow Jesus, or if that's something you're even thinking about, or even today, for whatever reason, you came to church and so you knew you'd hear something about Jesus, this is where this goes up a notch for us. That first bit, we could say that just about anywhere. A lot of people nod their head and say, yeah, I got to get control of my schedule. I got to get control of my calendar, and that's probably good advice. This next verse is where we just go to that next level. He says, therefore, do not be foolish. He reminds us of that, right? As if we had to, don't be an idiot. But understand what the Lord's will is. This is so big. This is where we go to the next level. I mean, all of us, we have a certain control over our schedule. But he says, therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Speaking of Jesus now. This is title for Jesus. And this is really important because in Christian circles, we talk about this all the time. We talk about God's will for our lives. And we talk about it like it's this crazy, mysterious thing that nobody can really get, and I just wish I knew God's will for my life. And many of us, when we talk about that, I'm just going to be upfront with you, and if you're offended by this, I don't know, too bad. Many of us Christians, when we're talking about God, what is God's will for us, and we're trying to go through it, what we're really trying to find out is how he's going to give us our will, what we want, right? I want a job. I want a certain kind of job. I want to get through school. I want to know what program to go into. I want to know what kind of family to have. I want to know what kind of house to buy, what kind of car to drive, and all these kind of things. And not always, but a lot of us, and I've been there, so if you're offended, I'm offended too. But we're looking for our will. How is God going to give me what I want? How is he going to, some thundering voice, come from heaven and say, Dave, this is what you should do. You don't need to any longer worry about that decision. But Paul, look at this. What he's saying to us is, I want you to understand what the Lord's will is. I want you to know what Jesus wants for you. And amazing that in the scripture, if you read throughout the Bible, all the way from the beginning to the end, the most common title for God is Lord. Paul uses it for Jesus because he believes Jesus is God. And many of us, I don't know what your predominant way of thinking of God is, and there's so many good things that we can think of, but the predominant title for God in the scriptures is Lord. That is, he gets to be in charge, because after all, he's God and we're not. And if God is who we think he is, if he is truly loving, and if he truly created us because he wants relationship with us and he wants what is best for us, then this is true, that what God wants for you is better than what you want for you. And that can be so hard for us to get, because we want really good things for ourselves. But what Paul is saying is, if you could just understand what God's will for you is, what the Lord's will is if you would submit yourself to him, if you would allow him to run your life, you would find out that what God wants for you is even better than what you want for you. And the wisest thing you could do is buy up opportunities and understand what God's will is for you, what God has for your life. Because again, after all, if he created you, and if he created you to experience what real true life and love is like, then what he has for us is better than what we have for us. It's why Jesus, when he walked this earth 2,000 years ago, his primary message was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent simply means turn your life around, do a 180. You're going in this direction, I'm going to call you to go in this direction. I want you to change your mind. Because what he's saying is, now there's a kingdom, and it's God's kingdom. It's the best kingdom ever. And I know you live in a world with lots of kingdoms. The kingdom of Canada, the kingdom of this, the kingdom of that. Everybody has their own kingdom. In our society, we have our personal kingdom, what we can amass and do and experience. And Jesus says, I want you to change the way that you think and live for God's kingdom. It's here now. You can experience it. And not all of us are there yet because we go, I don't know, I want things for me that are different than that. But Paul's saying, don't be foolish. Instead, understand the Lord's, what the Lord's will is. This is so much better for you. So buy up every opportunity to pursue God's will for you. What does that look like? I know, again, this can be a confusing thing of, well, what does God really want for us? But first, understand this. We're talking about time and how time is limited. And I told you that I believe God gives us limited time so that we can unleash unlimited potential. He can help us realize the limited potential. And you go, well, I don't know. I mean, I only have so much time. Think of this for a second. And again, you don't have to be a Christian to understand this. Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago for 33 years. That was his whole life. We know very little about his life between his birth. We got some stories about that recorded. And the time when he was 30. We have years missing in there. We don't know anything about what he did. And in the last 3 years, he had a public ministry. He was out there. People could see him. He did healings. He did teachings. Think about this. In 33 years, Jesus changed the course of history forever. Even if you're not a Christian, even if you don't believe, the fact that we're sitting here in a church 2,000 years later, in 33 years, Jesus changed the entire world and all of human history. Isn't that incredible? Another reason why we go, oh yeah, understand what the Lord's will is. Maybe he has something better and lasting for me. So what is that? What are we talking about? You know, again, many of us, we have this idea that life is about amassing things, or career, or money, or all that kind of stuff. And we want to pull God into that. But God's primary will for your life is that you become a magnificent person in his image, somebody with the character of Jesus. It's from John Ortberg. I didn't write that. But he's right. And that is God's main reason for your life. And in reality, no matter what circumstances come at you, no matter what you have in life, and we all have challenges, I don't diminish any of that. We all have things that come up. We all have emergencies. But there is no circumstance in your life that can derail you from this. If you're willing to buy up every opportunity to pursue God's will for your life, because his primary will for your life is that you become a magnificent person in his image, somebody with the character of Jesus. The ultimate goal that God has for your life is that you would become more like Jesus, because if we believe this is true, if we believe Jesus is who he said he was, then Jesus embodied the kind of person we were all created to be. He embodied love. He embodied forgiveness. He embodied grace. He embodied servanthood, being able to love one another and put them before himself. So much so that Jesus was willing to go through all the things that we go through and to die for us. That's what we're talking about in this series. That's why we called it All In. Because he was willing to go all in for us, willing to give up his entire life for other people, for love. And he calls us to walk that same road, to have our lives transformed by him, to have our lives be part of the transformation of other people's lives and the world around us, to bring that beauty and that love to the people that we rub shoulders with. And so God's primary will for your life, does he care about your career? Yes. Does he care about what program you take in school? Absolutely. Does he care about your family? 100% he does. But the primary will that God has for your life is a person that you will become. And he wants you to become more like Jesus. Because when you become more like Jesus, you become more like your true self, the person you were always created to be. When you become more like Jesus, you will find yourself in a deep, loving connection with God himself. And you will find that you have learned to love others the way that you love yourself, and even more. So what are we going to do about it? How are we going to apply this to our lives? Again, I said this already, but if you're tempted to say, I know, but I don't have time. I don't have time to do all the things that I believe I should do to be that kind of person. I want to remember this. Yes, you do. This week, you have the same amount of hours as everyone else. And what will make the difference is how you use those hours. So what needs to go in your schedule? What needs to get put on your calendar today that you protect and that you make sure gets done? What do you need to write down and say, I have an appointment at this time for this value and for this thing that is important to me so that nothing else infringes? I want you to take control of your calendar and your schedule. And if you say that there are things that are important to you and valuable to you, I want you to put them in your schedule, because what happens for most of us is in our schedules, urgent things get put in there. Demands that other people have on us get in there. Work a lot of time gets in there, and sometimes for some of us, just takes over our calendar. And the things that we do not consciously put into our calendar and our schedule are the things that get left off. Does your marriage need more attention? You say, man, I wish I was a better husband. I wish I was a better wife. Guess what? It's going to take time. One of the best things that my wife and I have ever done right from the beginning of our marriage, even before that, is we scheduled a date night and we stuck it on the calendar. And when somebody comes and said, hey, are you available on such and such a time? We go, no, we have an appointment. Because our marriage is important. We're going to make time for it. You need to be a better parent. You feel like you're missing out as a parent. You're not there for your kids. You just get your calendar and write on that calendar, home. I'm going to be home at bedtime. I'm going to be home at dinner time. I'm going to be there. Because God's calling me to be a good father, a good mother. Someone who cares. Someone who will make appointments with their family and then keep them. Do you want to have a vital, powerful relationship with God? Do you want to feel like you hear from him on a regular basis? Do you want to feel like you have this connection where you actually, in some way or another, sense the presence of God in your life? You can't cram for that. It takes deposits of time over time. And maybe in your schedule this week, you need to book that time where you say, this is my time where I'm going to be in Scripture. I'm going to spend some time praying. I'm going to spend some time reflecting, and nothing's going to infringe on that time. I'm going to put it in my schedule, on my calendar, and I'm going to protect it as an important appointment because it is, because I value that. What needs to get on your calendar today? Remember, for the most part, the most important things in life, we can't cram, but we can become the people that God has created us to be as we invest our time wisely, as we buy up those opportunities in things that draw us closer to him and bring benefit to other people. God gives us limited time, but in order to realize unlimited potential, and you can reach that potential of that person that you're called to be, but not if you're not good with your time. Ultimately, none of us know exactly how much time that we have. None of us know if we're going to get through this week, if we're still going to be breathing by next Sunday. But we do know that if we have today, all of us get 24 hours. How are you going to use them? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of time. We thank you that you've given us every moment that we have and that you've given us in those moments opportunities to find you, to love others, to experience what life really, truly is. God, I pray that today you would help us to make the commitment of becoming the people that you want us to become, becoming the people you created us to be, maximizing our potential. God, for those of us who feel overwhelmed, I pray that you would bring peace even in our schedule. I pray that you would help us to take control and seize every moment so that we can maximize the time that you've given to us. God, I pray that we would make time and protect time for the most important things, for you, for our families, to love the people around us well. And God, that you'd be honored in that. Would you transform our lives minute by minute so that we might get a glimpse of eternity? God, thank you for this wonderful opportunity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.